We showed heroic restraint last week, letting other voices on other shows exhaust themselves and many of you talking about the budget. We're committed on Late Night Live to letting dust settle, to perspective, and to giving others a chance to speak. They have, the people, that is, in a fascinating set of polls published over the weekend, which Anna Henderson joins us now to discuss. Anna, welcome.
Well, David, if it wasn't enough to just go through the process of reporting on the budget, to have such immediate feedback from the public and then to be poring over it over so many days that you've gotten to sit back and let it wash over you, I'll do my best to walk you through what I've learned, but I must stress that it has been a wall of information.
A wall of information that you know how to climb. Okay, now what do you make of what I see as rather perplexing poll results on the budget?
It is an extremely unusual set of circumstances, isn't it? So the government has broken a series of election promises. So it didn't get a mandate from the public to go forward with these changes to property taxes, you know, negative gearing, capital gains tax discount, and of course as well, the changes on trusts. But at the same time, the polling data has consistently shown, and even over the weekend, that there is, you know, quite strong support in the public for these changes to be made. That there's still a sense in the public that, you know, the government needed to do something on this, that the intergenerational inequity that the Prime Minister has identified was something that was quite popular to be dealt with. But yet when you get to the nitty-gritty of whether or not people are happy with the budget or not, well, it comes down to a fairly poor result for Labor. In fact, you know, it's been compared with budgets in years gone by as potentially one of the worst budget reactions for many decades. So it is an interesting conundrum that the government finds itself in as it does its, you know, road show it does every year to sell the budget, and just seems to find itself tied up a little more every day in a negative feedback loop.
But let's look at some of these figures. I mean, when asked about capital gains tax, this is in the Resolve strategic poll, which was published in the Nine newspapers. When asked, you know, are the changes to capital gains tax a good idea? Yes, 36%, no, 21%. That's strong endorsement. Same question about changes to negative gearing. Yes, 35%, no, 21%. Again, strong endorsement. According to the reports of the Resolve poll, They took people through 11 budget measures, and all of them were approved by people, except for the stopping work on the Inland Rail, which was a dead heat between those who opposed and those who supported it. So the detail is approved of, and yet there is this strong sense that the budget isn't going to do anybody much good.
Well, if you think back towards sort of February this year, when some of that polling was being done as well, asking the general question, because these are questions that the government has been asked many times over the past years, at what point would they potentially have to change tack and actually make the call that property taxes were the problem, or they were constricting housing supply, and that this was something that was preventing young people from buying a home. Back in February, you know, 2/3 of respondents backed changes to capital gains tax concession and negative gearing assistance. So there was very strong support earlier in the year. I do wonder whether one of the things that has made people less excited about this budget, more perhaps the actual response is more despondent about their economic situation, is that there hasn't been anything new in the budget to kind of give them more money in their pocket now. And there's a good reason for that, according to the government, which is that, you know, we're in an inflation cycle, an output inflation cycle, interest rate cycle as well. And so the government is trying to provide some relief. Like, there's, you know, a cut to the fuel excise that ends in June. There are other measures already in place to try and sort of buttress people's financial reality. But there's nothing that the budget has brought forward in the short term to say, we hear you, we're reacting, here's something for you, you know, now or very soon. There's this Working Australians tax offset, which actually hits the tax return in 2028. And that's a working framework now for the government to potentially increase that amount of money down the line. They're definitely very much kind of forward sizzling the likelihood that could get higher. But it's nowhere near people's reality right now.
So everything is pushed, you know, back down the line. Nothing coming up soon. So they just, everybody is just soldiering on with what they've got.
It's hard to tell. And don't forget, there are other things. You know, we talked, I think, last week about the budget strategy. Labor very carefully and cleanly laying out day by day over a matter of weeks in the lead up to the budget, those other big announcements, including the massive restrictions they're going to put into the National Disability Insurance Scheme funding to try and reduce that as a budget pressure, including the spending on defence, including other measures that they're taking. And it seemed like that strategy of bringing things out early was kind of making it seem like a reasoned, logical process. And yet when we've got to budget day, suddenly there's been this negativity in the reaction. And some of it has been kind of, I think, for the Prime Minister, unexpected, because things like the change to the capital gains tax discount, which has also been sold as something to do with the property market, but has also extended to assets. And it's also extended to the sort of startup and tech sector, for example. I don't know if you've seen the memes online that people have been creating over the week, their sort of startup or their, yeah, you know, small business, where they've superimposed the Prime Minister in there and said, just announcing sort of tongue in cheek, that we've got a new, you know, a new co-founder who owns 47% of this business. So obviously, you know, that's them saying suddenly we're being hit with this higher tax rate and we don't think it's fair. So that's the younger generational reaction that's different to the one the Prime Minister was certainly expecting and waiting on, which was young people trying to get into a house saying, oh, thankfully, finally, someone's done something to make this easier for us.
Isn't there some way of the Albanese government cutting through here and saying, look, we all have to pay tax? And, you know, even if you've set up a family trust, and the notion of the argument for taxing family trusts goes back decades. And this government has finally found the courage to say, we're going to tax family trusts. The result, people are saying, oh, it's death duties all over again. Well, most countries have death duties. It's how they pay for their armies and their schools. But here in Australia, that is seen as a fundamental violation.
The Prime Minister is a very astute politician on these kinds of decisions. You would expect, and you know, he's had a long career in Parliament. I think he always knew that there would be a backlash to going forward with this, despite not taking it to an election. And on that trust front, and you know, the scare campaign, as the government's calling it, on death taxes. I mean, there is no change to deceased estates and fixed trusts, and it's this particular type of testamentary trust, a discretionary testamentary trust that is, you know, I think grandfathered, but it's into the future that is going to be affected. And it's the kind of trust which the government says should be covered by this. And in fact, there's only less than 10,000 examples of this in Australia now. So this is a very small portion of the decision, but the opposition has successfully managed to weaponize it as a death duty. And there are a number of people I've spoken to today, sort of who are experts in the tax area, who say, well, you could say it is a duty related to a death, but it's not one of the big ones that we're all aware of, you know, that's, you know, an inheritance tax on a broad scale. This is affecting a small number of people who could just move it into a fixed testamentary trust. But this is in the weeds, right? But, you know, you get the big headline, are we going to get death duties here? And the opposition is successfully kind of wielding that at the moment. And the government, as you say, David, now has the, I guess, you know, track laid out to try and unfold its cut-through message. But I think at the moment, it's not managing to sell this in the way that it was hoping to. But, you know, it's early days. We're a week out from the budget. We're 2 years from the election.
I'm sure
that's what the Prime Minister is thinking.
Maybe not all the dust has settled. But, Anna, do you love the word hurt appearing? You know, this is going to hurt small business, and it's going to hurt people with trusts, and it's going to hurt business in general. As if we're not just talking here about, you know, paying a few bills, but it's pain. It's the pain. And, of course, I'm also in love with the argument that to tax people is to destroy their aspirations. Are you across that? Can you understand that one?
Well, I think that the government was making some pretty big changes to systems that people not only use at the moment to build their wealth, but also aspirationally. Like a lot of people I've spoken to over the past week about these changes, who I said, well, are you currently using any of these tax measures? They're not necessarily using them now, but in their kind of idea of what being in Australia and using the current systems to hopefully build wealth and build that kind of future they want, or that, you know, that, yeah, the wealth creation that they want to see, that's been an avenue that's been there for them to use. And now it's taken away.
Yeah.
And the older generation who already had access to it don't get taken off
that process. No, grandfathers.
It's still there for them. So I think that the opposition is successfully tapping into that. Tim Wilson, the shadow treasurer, has been quite effective in that over the past few days.
We're a strange country. We have always been so generous to the prosperous. But now the upshot of all of this is interesting. Some of the polls are showing that Angus Taylor is now neck and neck with the Prime Minister as preferred PM.
I do think it's interesting that Angus Taylor has managed to, at least in this polling reality, break through to name recognition, and also that he will be very buoyed by this personally. There's been a lot of concern within the opposition around whether or not he is cutting through, whether or not he is able to deliver the message, and even in the budget reply, whether or not his performance in the House of Representatives was really meeting the moment. But this will be, and I think we saw a spring in the opposition leader's step today when he was selling, you know, what he called the stinker of a budget, that he seems to be on a bit of a confidence run. So we'll see how that plays out for him internally, but also in terms of his ability to prosecute these really quite extraordinary policies, both when it comes to income tax and also when it comes to immigration.
Anna, thanks. I've been talking to Anna Henderson, Chief Political Correspondent with SBS World News.